this, but I ended up doing it. I was wondering how many communions I've had, and I grew up in the Catholic Church, and so we more than once a week would have communion. It was often twice a week, most weeks. And so I'm coming up on about 3,000 communions in my life. And one of the challenges for me personally is to make it real. And of course, if I'm going to be up here leading you, and hopefully leading your thoughts, I have to make it real for you. And, you know, I don't know if you've ever heard of the lullaby effect. Anybody ever heard of the lullaby effect? It's when you hear something over and over and over and over again, you stop listening to the words and you just sort of participate in the action. And obviously, there's great warning in the scripture of just acting your way through this time. You know, it's not good enough that, yeah, I came to church, I took the bread, I took the fruit of the vine, and I'm okay. Really, God calls us to engage our minds. And yet I know the lullaby effect is real. And if you think about where that phrase got its name, I'll try it with you, okay? Here we go. Let's see if this works. There you go, Ellen. You got it. Doesn't that make you want to take a nap? But if you're a baby that somehow has the cognitive ability to understand the words of that song, you're not falling asleep. I'm rocking on the top of a tree in a very precarious position, and you're telling me that branch is going to break and I'm going to fall along with that cradle. I'm not closing my eyes. And yet it's the most popular bedtime song that most mamas sing to their babies before they go to bed. It's the lullaby effect. And God forbid that happens at communion. That we just get lulled into the sing-song routine week after week. And I know growing up Catholic, because we had a fairly prescribed and consistent liturgy, we heard the same things basically week in and week out. And if God doesn't have a sense of, you don't think God has a sense of humor, I'll prove to you he does. Where I was going to start was with that song, unbeknownst to me, that's a holy, holy, holy. They're the words that we would say just prior to going from mostly standing to mostly kneeling the rest of the service. It's the Eucharistic portion of the service. And through most of it, we would kneel down. And so just before kneeling down, we would say this. And if you're from that faith or the Episcopal faith, this will make a lot of sense. Holy, holy, holy Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. But it usually was done like this. Holy, holy, holy Lord God of heaven and earth, we're full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed be the name, comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. It became so rote, and yet I go back and look at those words, and they're amazing words. In fact, the whole liturgy is just amazing. I mean, some of it's not very biblical, and some of it, in fact, is contrary to what I believe the Bible teaches, but so much of it is rich with meaning. But right at that point, the reason most of us who grew up Catholic get the heebie-jeebies is at the end of that, you kneel for a long time. I remember a time in here where we kneeled for a prayer. And we were only kneeling for like, you know, a minute and a half. The groaning and whining and most of it internal, of course, because we want to not appear to be so offensive toward God, but we knew we're kneeling and we're kneeling for a long time. So as a kid, the prep for communion where the Eucharistic prayers were almost unbearable. So not only did it have the lullaby effect of knowing every word, it had the painful effect of being on your knees. And so it's very hard to make sense of this, but as soon as we knelt down, here's what the priest would say, and I won't imitate the priest, but I want to say it in a way that might be meaningful to you. Father, you are holy indeed. And all creation rightly gives you praise. All life, all holiness comes from you through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, by the working of the Holy Spirit. From age to age, you gather a people for yourself so that from east to west, a perfect offering might be made to the glory of your name. On the night he was betrayed, he took bread and gave thanks and praise. He broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it. This is my body, which will be given up for you." When supper was ended, he took the cup. Again, he gave you thanks and praise. He gave the cup to his disciples, and he said, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all men, so that your sins may be forgiven. Do this in memory of me." Now, I want you to think about that, which is very much based on Luke chapter 22, verses 16, 17, 18 in there. It's almost word for word, that little section. But it starts out saying, on the night he was betrayed. And if you look at Luke chapter 22, where that begins in your Bible, it says in most NIV translations, a little header that is not put in there by the original writer, but it says Judas agrees to betray Jesus. Well, that kind of sums it up. One of Jesus' closest disciples, one of the 12 he chose, worked out a deal for money to betray Jesus. And so imagine, on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, broke it, and said to all of them, including the one who had agreed to betray him, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which is given up for you." Can you imagine being Judas, knowing that he actually was included in that offering by Jesus? Imagine if I look straight at you, and I don't want to pretend I'm Jesus, but Marius, this is for you. This is my body given up for you. This is for the forgiveness of your sins. Phyllis, this is my body given up for you. This is for the forgiveness of your sins. And no matter who you are today, this is the table that you're invited to, a table where people are recognizing, and Jesus is helping them recognize, that I don't care what you just did earlier this evening. Randy, this is for you. I'm offering my body up for you. I'm going to pour out my blood for you so that your sins might be forgiven. Let's pray.